away. It is far. It is gone.
There's no better way to celebrate your favorite MLB team than by visiting Baseballism, the official lifestyle brand of baseball. Baseballism specializes in apparel for men, women, and children, and now offers officially licensed MLB team apparel. For a limited time, get 15% off your next order by using the code PODCAST at checkout. Shop now at Baseballism.com or visit Baseballism San Francisco on the corner of King and 3rd. Baseballism is America's brand.
Suicide is something that affects all of us, and we can all play a part in saving lives. Make a difference in your community by walking out of the darkness with us on Saturday, September 10th at Pier 27. Help spread awareness and understanding. Send the message that help is available and raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Find a walk near you at afsp.org/walksf. Bay Area.
Welcome into another episode of the Southsiders podcast with myself, Shane Reardon, and Gabe Ramirez. You can find the show on Twitter at Southsider670, Instagram, Southsider670, our Gmail, Southsider670@gmail.com. Go ahead and send us some questions, some White Sox related questions, any kind of questions. We'll get to those at the end of the show, as we will do today. Gabe, the White Sox did what you said they were going to do and took 2 of 3 from the Oakland Athletics, although it should have been an easy sweep. I said it would be a sweep. You said it would be 2 of 3. Yesterday was something that I'm still kind of pissed off about. You've got this independent league pitcher and this fucking Oler kid that was pitching for the Windy City Thunderbolts like a year and a half ago, and the most you can get is 3 runs off of him. I was pissed.
Yeah, it was frustrating in the beginning because you're like, damn, it seems like Sox always, doesn't it feel like that always happens though? Sox face some pitcher that, you know, comes from obscurity and then handles them in the beginning. It's like, it's been happening for decades though. It's like not even anything that's brand new. But
they can never hit guys who are shit. They just like, can't.
Like what's going on here? And then it's like a little bit of movement, but it was good to see that, you know, second time through the rotation or through the lineup, that's when they started pegging them and, you know, pretty doing some damage. So at least they adjusted. Just a little too late for me.
Let's start with Friday night. And I'm not taking much from Friday night outside of Tim Anderson's altercation with the home plate umpire. But the biggest thing I'm taking from that situation, I went back and watched it a bunch of times. From the time that the strikeout call happened and the contact was made with Tim Anderson, from Tim Anderson's helmet bill to the hat bill of the home plate umpire, that was 16 seconds. It took him 16 seconds to get legitimately angry, and it took Tony La Russa 30 fucking seconds to get from the dugout to somewhat in between TA and who was it? Brian Onora. I can't even remember who the ump was. It took him 30 seconds, either him or Miguel Cairo. Get somebody out there to separate TA and the home plate umpire, and it took him 30 seconds.
Yeah, that part was frustrating because you want your manager to be equally as upset from the beginning, right? Like if it's a bad call, you want him to be like, yo, what the fuck? While Tim Anderson is saying, what the fuck, right? So the fact that it took him that long, obviously he didn't side with that or he wasn't interested in arguing balls or strikes. I talked to Bruce Levine, and he said something that was very interesting. He said, you know, your leader needs to be on the field. And in that instance where TA obviously was upset, he put the blame on Tony as well. He said, Tony should have got his ass out there. And you see your guy upset, you got to take the heat. If need be, you need to get ejected. Like that needs to be on you. And you need to take over for Tim in that moment. So he was equally frustrated. And you never really see Tim get worked up like that, right? What did you think about him getting that turned up?
I mean, I thought it was pretty justified. The strike zone was absolutely brutal on Friday night. It was, of course, bad for both teams, but it was a really, really bad strike zone, specifically on pitches outside to right-handed hitters. So I don't really blame TA for getting as mad as he did. I blame him for not being able to understand that if you get even anywhere close enough and make contact with an umpire, Major League Baseball is going to come down on you. That's one of those things that no matter what, Major League Baseball will punish you for making any sort of contact with an umpire. TA's already seen it in that skirmish with whoever the hell it was to end last season. He pushed an umpire away during a fight because he thought it was a player. And then we saw him miss the first 3 games of this season. So he's got experience with it. Yeah. You've got to grow up a little bit and understand that in the moment you can be angry, but there's a line you cannot cross.
Yeah.
That being said, like we've said, any other manager in Major League Baseball would have been out there to make sure that TA didn't get too close to the home plate umpire. So and quickly. When he's 77 years old, then your bench coach has to be the one to right. do it. Or Joe McEwing's got to sprint out yeah. from third base, or Darryl Boston from first.
Anyone.
Base. Somebody has to. Anyone. Anyone. Even whoever it was Moncada on deck, even Moncada's got to come over yeah. and separate him a little bit.
Yeah.
It's the laziness and it's the lack of discipline that this team has shown all year. And it came to fruition again on Friday night, coming up on a stretch where the White Sox could very, very much use Tim Anderson. But I bet we don't see him tonight. It was a 3-game suspension. He appealed. And I bet it'll come down to one game and we don't see him tonight or whenever it is tomorrow against the
Rams. I hope it's one game. That'd be cool.
It will be. But you know what? He's a repeat offender. So maybe they do keep it at 3 games and denies appeal.
That's a good one.
I don't know, man.
Well, either way, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who the Sox put in that leadoff spot. I mean, you know, obviously moving the lineup around, I feel like it's been working well as of late. You saw, you know, Vaughn get thrown into the 2-hole yesterday. But shout out Davis Martin for coming in after Lance Lynn on that game on Friday. We got to give him some love. Good. Pitching 3 1/3 is not easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was good.
We've been talking about who can fill that void in the event there's some shuffling in the bullpen. But, you know, there's guys like that can't do it. So I just wanted to show him a little bit of love. What did you think about Lance Lynn on that Friday?
Well, speaking of Davis Martin and innings eaters and the deadline, when we do talk about the deadline in about 10, 15 minutes, I do have a starting pitching candidate that can eat Ooh. Innings in the bullpen that I will throw by you that I think makes a ton of sense. Like repeat your question one more time. I'm sorry.
Just thoughts on that. You know, obviously, I think a big part of this weekend series was, you know, Lynn and Cueto. So I was just curious what your thoughts were on Lynn and what he did on Friday.
Yeah, I think Lynn is leaving the ball up way too much. And I don't know what the issue is, but he's not getting the break on his breaking balls like he used to. And he's just leaving the ball up. Two of those homers are just fucking cookies middle up. It just something's going on and I'm not sure what it is, but I have all the faith in Lance Lynn to correct that. I know his spin rates are down and he is walking more guys than he's used to. We always know that Lance Lynn he pitches to contact. So I've got no problem with that, but he usually gets weak contact. And this weekend, I don't know if it was just some kind of anomaly, but the ball was flying. And it was really only flying for the A's. I mean, the White Sox had a couple nice home runs. Eloy Jimenez looked good going oppo the other day. The one from Gavin Sheets, like the Gavin Sheets' monthly home run.
Yeah,
it's
makes like, you fall in love with him.
Oh, my God, dude. It's that beautiful, sweeping, left-handed so nice. Power swing that just shoots the ball into the air so right. goddamn high. And you're just like,
yes,
do that.
Yeah.
Just do that more.
The way he was staring at the ball, too, I was like, yes. Don't you want to be swaggy more often? Like, you got to hit more homers to do that, though. You can't have 6 homers on the year and stare at your beautiful swing and crushing it like that. I did like Eloy's, too, because for me, like, Eloy, dude, he just – it's like Robert, but it almost looks like with less effort, where when he makes contact – it looks like that's going to be a pop fly in the right field or something. And it is a bomb. He's full of power. And I love that. And I love that he's gone back into the lineup. I love guys that are just putting a little bit more, I don't know, oomph in the swing just because Sox need the long ball, dude. Like if Lynn does pitch like that, like he did on Friday, and he does give up, you know, 3 runs or whatever, the Sox got to be able to win 6-7-3. And like, you got to be able to do that. But the only way you're going to do that is if you're going to be hitting home runs. You got guys like I want to bring them up. Gosh, show them love. Like Lurie, who can get you a base hit, who can get on base, and then you need someone to just hit the big one, man, to just break the game wide open. And just when the Sox were down 2-0 on Saturday, you were like fearful and like, damn, man, like how are we gonna get these runs? That shouldn't be the case. We got guys that can hit homers on the team, like so. We shouldn't be thinking about how are we gonna manufacture this.
And real quick on Gavin Sheets, the problem with him now is, too, I think 17 of his 20 homers are at home. So you're not going to get any offensive production in that way out of power from Gavin Sheets on the road. Keep talking about home and road splits. Dylan Cease has like a sub 0.7 ERA at home or during day games. So, like, if I'm Tony La Russa, I'm manipulating my starting rotation for the rest of the season so Dylan Cease only pitches day games.
Yes.
Like that it's not a crutch. You have 5 starting pitchers. You can manipulate it so he only pitches day games. But talking about Lurie, yes, Lurie can do those kinds of things. But Lurie would be so much more successful and so much less hated by the fan base if he wasn't asked to do it all the time.
Sure.
So Larry can't be an everyday player. He's going to come out of this series playing like 130, 135 games or something like that. Larry Garcia should be playing in like 70, 75, maybe 80 total games.
Right, helping that's you on it. Spurts.
Yeah, it's just that's we've talked about it all season. That's the problem with this team. They just don't have the positional versatility and the depth. They just have 15 guys who could play first base and DH. And coming up on a deadline where there are a lot of guys out there available who are left-handed power bats that unfortunately only play first base and DH, that's a problem when you're building this team that you weren't ready for something like that. I would love to see the White Sox be able to acquire Josh Bell, power hitter playing for the Nationals right now. Guy's hitting the shit out of the ball, but he's only an emergency corner outfielder, and he's a left-handed power bat. It would be the perfect time if Yasmani Grandal could catch every single day, Abreu could play first base every single day, and Eloy could play left field every single day, then boom, you've got your left-handed DH power bat and Josh Bell and Andrew Vaughn could be in right field every single day. And you don't have to have Kevin Sheets. That's the frustrating part for me right now.
Yeah. When you look at that too, you know, you're talking about Yasmani Grandal. I was more upset that he was out of the lineup yesterday than Moncada. You know, Moncada's been playing well, give him some rest. Sure. I get it. But like Yasmani, like we need to get you back in, you know what I mean? We need to get you in that rotation because that's a desired bat in that lineup, and that on-base percentage trying to work it back in the swing of things. So I feel like he needs to get more in the swing than Moncada does. But you're right. It's like you can't wait. I wonder whose decision that is. Like, is that a Tony decision or is that a Yasmani decision where Yasmani's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm a veteran. I'm sitting out. You know, I'll be fine to play.
The Grandal thing I think is pretty similar to what we saw in Colorado where Yasmani is not going to catch 2 days in a row the majority of the time, and he's especially not going to catch 2 days in a row when it's a night game and then a day game. And then you had to give Jose Abreu a day off from first base yesterday, so he had to DH, and Andrew Vaughn had to play first base. So I think that's more so what the Yasmani Grandal thing is, but it's still so frustrating that you've built a team full of guys that can't play 2-3 days in a row.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
And it's happening more often than we would like. But it's like you said, you got to have the mindset of Jose Abreu, man. You got to be a dog. You want to be in there every day playing your little heart out. And he's been killing as of late. I love what he's doing right now because a couple of guys like that, like Josh Harrison too. I mean, I don't know, man. I feel like I can smell the run coming. I can smell some sort of not a crazy win streak, but one where it's like, you know, you've won 7 out of your last 8. You know, you just lost in the middle somewhere. You know, I feel like that's there. I'm glad they won these last two against Oakland. They should have. And so now who is it? Kansas City, right?
So this is technically where your stretch where you can win 7 out of your next 9 if you want. You have two really bad baseball teams in the Kansas City Royals and the Texas Rangers. You got 3 against Kansas City and off day, 3 against Texas, and then 3 against Kansas City again. This is the stretch right here. This is – and how many times have we said that? How many times have we said, hey, the White Sox have this 19-game stretch?
We're just so workout. We're so limber right now from all the stretches that we're
ready for this. That's another conversation. but this is it right now where if you want to show that you're legit, this is it right now. These next 9 games, if you want to be serious, go ahead and take 8 of them.
Yeah.
Take 8 of the games, 8 of the 9.
You know what? Nobody's been talking about Kopech a lot lately either. I mean, it has been a lot of focus on, of course, Lin Cueto and Giolito. Everybody knows what's going on with Dylan Cease, who, by the way, shout out my bet for betting him at 15-1 to win the Cy Young. I told you to put money on it.
Yeah,
I told you on this podcast to put money
what's
on it.
What's that now?
Dude, it's 7-1.
Ooh.
Oh. 7-1 right now. And only McClan and Verlander
Shane
are ahead
McClanahan.
Of him. Yeah, McClan and Verlander are ahead of him. But yeah,
it might be Verlander just because he has the name already, and they're probably going to win the World Series, so that wouldn't surprise me. But man,
but if he keeps pitching lights out
else right now,
it's all about the narrative, man. It's all about the narrative, and we knew what was happening with Dylan Cease. We just didn't know if it was sustainable, and the fact that he's continued to do it every single start, you're like, oh, wait a second. I know we said he was 15-1 or that he had no chance because of other guys were ahead of him, but the way he's pitching is dominant on a different level. Like, it's like a different level of dominance. They were -300 yesterday, the Chicago White Sox, to win. Dude, to get -300, to get minus 300, you know, like half your lineup has to be out, and you gotta, like, that's almost like a guaranteed win right there. And so that was insane to see the Sox at minus 300 with Dylan on the bump. But people aren't talking about Kopech enough. I think that he needs to step up his game in the last couple, in the last month or two, just because he's, you know, he's been giving up a lot of runs. I mean, his last outing against Colorado, that was his best start in like seven starts. So, you know, if he can duplicate that, you know, he had a good beginning of the year, but you know, strikeouts aren't up. You know, he should be in the 6-7 range, don't you think, Shane? When you're talking about Michael Kopech, even in five innings, Lynn had eight in five.
I think the knee is still bothering him a little bit. It's his push off knee, so I think that's probably still bothering him. I think tonight is a very important start. He's had a ton of rest, so I think that Kopech will likely turn around, and as long as you can get him five. Like, I know this bullpen is struggling a little bit right now, especially with Ronaldo Lopez out, but I just need Kopech to give me five tonight, five innings with six or seven strikeouts, and I'm going to feel a lot better. But it's more so the velocity I'm worried about, not necessarily the strikeouts or the amount of innings pitched, because he's now at a point where he's been pitching longer, or coming up on pitching longer than he has in any season of his major league career. So durability is the key for Michael Kopech here if you want this starting rotation to be good enough to get you into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I hope he does, man. I mean, that to me right now, after that series against the A's, Shane, like, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm like, okay, we saw Cueto Lin cease, you know, after all of that, all the drama, all the all-star, like, now, okay, well, now I want to see what Kopech and Giolito do on this against Kansas City Royals, against the team that is inferior that we should be beating. Like, are you going to go in and handle business? That's because that's where I feel like the Sox need to be. They need to be in handle business mode. And that starts with the starting pitcher.
And I'm glad that they did take two or three from Oakland, but it wasn't enough. Like, it didn't even need to be a sweep. You can lose one game, whatever. If you go two out of three in every series from here on out, you'll win the division. But it wasn't enough. I needed more separation. I needed 7, 8, 9, 10 runs a game. That is a very bad Oakland Athletics pitching staff. The offense is good, and they came into the series as one of the hotter teams in baseball. They came in off sweeping the Astros. But the fact that they couldn't put up 7, 8, 9, 10 runs against that pitching staff is my worry.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be relying on a two-run homer from Gavin frickin' Sheets to tie the ball game on a beautiful, warm Saturday afternoon in a ballpark where the baseball does fly over the fence.
And the guys are supposed to be playing better in the warm weather. So that's what's supposed to be happening, right? And
yeah,
you can't blame it on Luis Robert, right? You can't blame it on him. It sucks. You got to put three hits together, man. We've seen a lot of twos, but not a lot of threes.